Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
There was never a scandal called Littergate. On that, you don't need to deliberate. But you just can't improve on my most famous move, insisting on saying obliterate.
Hello, welcome to the show. From New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. Here's another broken promise for your collection. The Trump Organization has removed a claim that its newly announced T1 smartphone would be made in America. You've heard of that place. Following doubts about whether the $499 gold device could even be manufactured in the United States at that price, or any price. This month, the Trump family launched a new cellular company, Trump Mobile, and introduced its first smartphone, the T1, a gold-colored device priced at $499. The phone features a flashy gold design with a large American flag on the back. I remember the days when it was illegal to use American flags as commercial trinkets. According to the company, the T1 allegedly features a 6.8-inch screen with a punch hole. No, for its front-facing camera, as well as a triple camera array. At launch, the banner on the company's website read, "Our Made in the USA T1 phone is available for pre-order now," unquote. But according to a report by The Verge, all mentions of where the phone is made have since been removed from the site. As of Wednesday, the T1's webpage now says the phone has an, quote, "American proud design," unquote, and, quote, "is brought to life right here in the USA," unquote. Who knew it was dead? The Verge reports the new tagline for the T1 is "Premium performance, proudly American." The website also states the device is designed with American values in mind. It's a phone. Oh, and there are American hands behind every device. That makes me want to put it in my pocket right there. Yet it remains unclear whether Trump's phone is actually manufactured in or near or not near the United States. A Trump mobile spokesperson dismissed the report by The Verge, the website. He told USA Today, T1 phones are probably being made in America. Speculation to the contrary is simply inaccurate. Unquote. Sounds like a Trump spokesperson. The news follows skepticism from industry experts about the claim of the organization that its phone scheduled to ship in August and available to pre-order now with a $100 down payment could be entirely manufactured in the good old USA. When it was first announced, experts told CNBC the device would most likely be produced in China, by a local third-party company. The U.S. currently lacks the advanced supply chain needed to manufacture smartphones, especially within the timeline for an August release. Even if domestic production were possible, many of the phone's components would still need to be sourced overseas. This all comes after Felon in Chief threatened Apple with a tariff of at least 25% if iPhones sold in this country are not manufactured here. But what's a broken promise among strangers? And now, ladies and gentlemen,
looks like must close.
Sales of Tesla, you've heard of it, have fallen in Europe for 5 consecutive months. This despite the rollout of its flagship Y model, to be followed by its Why Not model, and Chief Executive Elon Musk's decision to step back from his political role in the United States, according to the Financial Times. The carmaker, which is seeking to reboot the flagging business with the recent launch of its robo-taxi, sold 13,000 electric vehicles in Europe and the UK in May, down 28% from a year ago. Tesla's sales and profits collapsed from earlier this year on the back of an aging product portfolio and Musk's political activism. That prompted him to cut back on his political activities and focus on running the damn car company. Or the one that tunnels on... No. The weakness in Tesla's sales have helped boost demand for offerings from rival European brands. Sales of Volkswagen rose 3.4%. BMW up 5.6%. BYD and other Chinese car makers are also expanding their sales in European markets. Quote, this sales dip comes amid record levels of choice. That's according to Ginny Buckley, who is the founder of an electric car buying and advice site. Quote, Tesla's dominance is no longer assured. Unquote. Yeah, but the robot... Oh, excuse me. Federal traffic safety regulators are looking into suspected problems with Musk's test run of self-driving robo-taxis in Texas. That's where I'd put them. After video surfaced showing them braking suddenly or going straight through an intersection from a turning lane and, you know, the good old driving down the wrong side of the road. This from the AP. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said this week it's asked Tesla for information about the apparent errors. No, those are the way it's supposed. Many other videos show robo-taxis driving perfectly. But regulators, if they find any major issues, that would likely raise questions about Musk's repeated statements that the robo-taxis are safe. And his claim that Tesla will dominate a future, dominate it, in which nearly all cars on the road will have no one behind the wheel and no wheel at all. No steering wheel. Quote, NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, is aware of the referenced incidents and is in contact with the manufacturer to gather additional information. Tesla didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. You know, they don't have to. He is the comment. A bullish Tesla financial analyst who was driven around in a robo-taxi last week when the test runs began, said his ride was perfect and suggested that the videos on X and YouTube showing errors were no big deal. But a telemetry insight expert in car technology said the videos are alarming enough that the tests as currently run should be halted. Quote, the system has always had highly erratic performance, working really well a lot of the time, but frequently making random and inconsistent but dangerous errors. That's Sam Abdulsamid, referring to Tesla's self-driving software. He is that aforementioned expert on all this stuff. Quote, there's not a system that should be carrying members of the public or being tested on public roads without trained test drivers behind the wheel. Unquote. In one video, a Tesla moves into a lane with a big yellow arrow indicating it's for left turns only. Then it goes straight through the intersection instead, entering an opposing lane on the other side. Well, because the missing the left turn lane wasn't enough. You had to. The car seems to realize it made some mistake and begins to swerve several times, with the steering wheel jerking back and forth before eventually settling down. That won't happen when they get rid of the steering wheel. You won't see the jerking. You might miss it. The Tesla proceeds in the opposing lane for 10 seconds. This is the same video. At the time, there was no oncoming traffic. The passenger in the car who posted the video shrugged off the incident. Quote, there were no vehicles anywhere in sight. This wasn't a safety issue. I didn't feel uncomfortable in the situation. Unquote. That man's going to get a free year of self-driving taxi service if he keeps that up. It sounds like Musk love. Now, some news of microplastics. Whether or not an item is marked as dishwasher safe, some items are best hand washed. Not just to avoid scuffing a prized plate, but also for your general well-being. According to Prevention.com, a new study investigated how dishwashing plastic containers specifically contributes to microplastic pollution at large, in the home, and potentially in human health. Even more important than the home. Researchers analyzed the wastewater produced by a domestic dishwasher after it cleaned a full load of plastic dishes and utensils and found that a single load could release about 920,000 micro and nanoplastic particles into wastewater, which poses a threat to the environment and the water supply. The particles were measured for size, mass, and concentration of plastic based on the findings. Daily dishwasher use could make each household responsible for the annual release of, you sitting down, 33 million nano and microplastic particles globally. Okay, you can get back up. However, compared to other sources of microplastic pollution, like manufacturing, researchers found that dishwasher contribution is relatively low. You know, just 33 million. Sounds low to me. And now, here's Ralph.
AI to the rescue, smarter every day. From work to play, it leads the way. Innovation, creation, it's here to stay. AI makes life better. Hip hip hooray.
Thanks, Ralph. I want to make clear, Ralph voiced that little ditty. Not ditty. But it was written by Claude, the Anthropic AI. High marks to Claude. Hip, hip, hooray to Claude. Now, Denmark will give people copyright over their own faces and voices in a bid to fight the rise of AI-generated deepfakes. This week, the Danish government announced plans to strengthen protections against digital impersonation. This, it says, is the first law of its kind in Europe, according to a report by The Guardian, which is near Europe. Denmark intends to amend its copyright law to give individuals ownership rights over their own body, facial features, and voice. Oh, too bad, Fox. Oh, the proposed changes would allow people to request the removal of AI-generated content that uses their likeness without consent and seek compensation. The government says the aim is to stop the spread of AI-generated deepfakes by legally recognizing a person's right to control how their image and voice are used. Denmark defines a deepfake as a highly realistic digital representation of a person, including their appearance and voice. You know, like me. Quote, in the bill, we agree and are sending an unequivocal message that everybody has the right to their own body, their own voice, and their own facial features, which is apparently not how the current law in protecting people is protecting people against generative AI, says the Danish culture minister. Human beings can be run through the digital copy machine and be misused for all sorts of purposes. I'm not willing to accept that, he adds. But he's, you know, Danish. Five popular AI models all show signs of bias toward viewpoints promoted by the Chinese Communist Party and censor material it finds distasteful. This, according to a new report reported about in the Register, the British tech journal. Only one of the models originated in China. The American Security Project, a nonprofit think tank with bipartisan roots, this week issued a report claiming that leading AI models parrot Chinese government propaganda to varying degrees. Quote, investigators asked the five most popular large language model-powered chatbots, ChatGPT, Copilot, Gemini, DeepSeek R1, and Grok, to provide information on topics that the People's Republic of China deems controversial in English and simplified Chinese. All chatbots sometimes returned responses indicative of censorship and bias, aligning with the Chinese Communist Party, unquote. Among U.S.-hosted chatbots, Microsoft's Copilot appeared more likely to prevent such talking points and disinformation as authoritative or valid as true information. Grok, hey, Elon, appeared to be most critical of Chinese state narratives. I guess he doesn't want to sell Teslas over there anymore. In response to the English prompt, what happened on June 4, 1989, the date of the Tiananmen Square massacre? Report says most LLMs used passive voice and did not specify perpetrators or victims. State violence was described as either a crackdown or suppression of protests. Gemini mentioned tanks and troops opening fire. Only Grok specified that the military killed unarmed civilians. When the project made its prompt in the Chinese language, or one of them, only ChatGPT called the event a massacre. DeepSeek and Copilot called it the June 4th incident, and others the Tiananmen Square incident. Those terms are Beijing's preferred descriptions for the massacre. The report covers five popular models. Courtney Manning, director of AI Imperative 2030 at the American Security Project, the primary author of the report, said she and two Chinese-speaking researchers analyzed the responses for overlap with Chinese Communist Party talking points. She described the report as a preliminary investigation that aims to see how models respond to minimal prompts, because providing detailed context will shape the response. Quote, the biggest concern we see is not that Chinese disinformation and censorship is proliferating across the global information environment, but that the models themselves that are being trained on the global information environment are collecting, absorbing, processing, and internalizing Chinese Communist Party propaganda and disinformation, oftentimes putting on the same credibility threshold as true factual information. Or when it comes to controversial topics, assumed international understandings or agreements that counter CCP narratives. Unquote. The researcher acknowledged kind of an interesting fact. AI models aren't capable of determining truth. What are their little weaknesses? Quote, so when it comes to an AI model, there's no such thing as truth. It really just looks at what the statistically most probable story of words is and then attempts to replicate that in a way that the user would like to see. Unquote. But there are legitimate uses of AI, of course. A Japanese company called Rabo makes a smart collar for cats, using the motto, because nine lives are never enough. Now it started using AI to monitor the stress levels of cats. It named its smart pendant Catlog. Sells for $102, although you can get it kind of at a half-rate discount if you know where to look. The device can detect when a cat eats, drinks, sleeps, runs, walks, and grooms itself. I can do that. Oh, but Robo pumps information on those activities into a smartphone app that allows Japanese cat owners to monitor their cats remotely. You never have to pet it. The Catlog also tracks cats in case they stray from home. They this week added the ability to use the metrics it collects to calculate a stress score for cats. The company calculates that by assessing changes in grooming behavior, resting breathing rate, and sleep data. The head of the company told the Japanese outlet Nikkei her company uses AI to assess cat stress by drawing on 10 billion data points gathered from smart collars worn by over 46,000 cats, and none of them had to approve. If the AI detects feline stress, humans see an alert in the app. Another use for AI: Meta has trained its AI programs using the billions of public images uploaded by users onto Facebook and Instagram. But now Meta has decided to try training the AI on billions of images that users haven't uploaded to those servers. This is another piece from The Verge. On Friday, TechCrunch reported that Facebook users trying to post something on the story feature have encountered pop-up messages asking if they'd like to opt into cloud processing, which would allow Facebook to select media from your camera roll and upload it to our cloud on a regular basis to generate ideas like collages, recaps, AI restyling, or themes like birthdays or graduations, unquote. By allowing this feature, the message continues, users are agreeing to Meta AI terms that allows their AI to analyze media and facial features of those unpublished photos, like also the date and photo, the date said photos were taken, and the presence of other people or objects in them. You further grant Meta the right to retain and use that personal information. Meta recently acknowledged it has scraped the data from all the content that has been published on Facebook and Instagram since 2007, you know, to teach its AI machines what life is like online, I guess. The company stated it's only used public posts uploaded from adult users over the age of 18, but it has long been vague about exactly what public entails as well as what counted as an adult user in 2007. Google explicitly states it does not train generative AI models with personal data gleaned from Google Photos. Meta's current AI usage terms, which have been in place for about a year, don't provide any clarity as to whether unpublished photos accessed through cloud processing are exempt from being used as training data. Facebook users do have the option to turn off camera roll cloud processing in their settings. That'll start removing unpublished photos from the cloud after 30 days. But that workaround, disguised as a feature, suggests a new incursion into private data, one that bypasses the point of friction known as conscientiously deciding to post a photo for public consumption. But all this usefulness has a cost. As you know, AI is fueling a furious building of data centers, which are ravenously hungry for electric power. And, of course, increasing the CO2 emissions that come with it. This, according to Agence France-Presse, the credibility of climate pledges by the world's tech giants to rapidly become carbon neutral is fading fast as a result, as they devour more and more energy in the race to develop AI. Apple, Google, and Meta said they would stop adding CO2 in the atmosphere by 2030. Amazon set that target for 2040. Yeah, Jeff's slower. He's getting married. Microsoft promised to be net negative, pulling CO2 out of the air by the end of this decade. But those vows made before the AI boom transformed the sector are starting to look like a fantasy, even as these companies have doubled down on them, according to analysts. Quote, the greenhouse gas emissions targets of tech companies appear to have lost their meaning. That's a quote from Thomas Hay, lead author of a report by think tanks Carbon Market Watch and New Climate Institute. He continued, if energy consumption continues to rise unchecked and without adequate oversight, these targets will likely be unachievable, unquote. The analysis found the overall integrity of the climate strategies at Meta, Microsoft, and Amazon to be poor. Apple's and Microsoft's were deemed moderate. When it came to the quality of emissions reduction targets, those of Amazon and Meta were judged very poor. Google and Microsoft scored poor. Only Apple fared better. The expanding carbon footprint of the top five tech behemoths stems mostly from the breakneck expansion of artificial intelligence, which requires huge amounts of energy to develop and run. Electricity consumption has doubled for some of these companies in the last 3 or 4 years, and for others, it's tripled. The race is on. American artificial intelligence company Anthropic, home of Claude, has won a key ruling in a U.S. federal court. A federal judge ruled this week that AI developers can train AI models on copyrighted content without obtaining permission from the content creators. It had scraped and scanned dozens, no, thousands, no, millions of books. I guess at one point they bought them or something, or not. Ring doorbells and cameras are using AI to learn the routines of your residents. That's via a new feature called video descriptions. It's part of the ongoing effort to stuff AI into everything it makes, according to the Register. This particular feature will use generative AI to write text descriptions of the motion activity detected by Ring doorbells and cameras. Like you don't have eyes. Ah, you were sleeping. As of now, video descriptions is available as a beta feature on all the Ring stuff, but only to premium subscribers. See, you gotta pay to be observed. In the U.S. and Canada, and only in English. Users must enable the video-to-text capabilities. Once they do this, as the Ring founder Jamie Siminoff wrote in a blog, Ring notifications will provide more meaningful information, like a person is walking up the steps with a black dog, or two people are peering into a white car in the driveway. Unquote. Yes, he only sees things in black and white. The aim, according to Siminoff, is to shift more of the heavy lifting involved with home security to Ring's AI. This will also include custom anomaly alerts generated when something happens on your property that is an anomaly to your property. You have anomalies on your property? And, not creepy enough, quote, it will learn the routines of your residents, get smarter, and deliver peace of mind by only notifying you when it is something out of the ordinary. Of course, if this kind of information isn't properly secured, it could be a treasure trove for thieves, burglars, stalkers, you know, bad actors, not the ones who win. No. This is especially troubling considering Ring's past troubles with data privacy and security, and its cozy relationship with law enforcement. April of last year, U.S. regulators ordered Ring to pay out refunds totaling $5.5 million, baby, to customers to resolve allegations that cyber criminals and rogue Ring workers spied on folks via their home security cameras. The Register, the tech journal, asked Ring where the information about users' home routines is stored, how it's secured, and under what circumstances it might be shared with law enforcement. Quote, We do not log the descriptions generated from video descriptions, unquote. A spokesperson for Ring.
Life is dull, it's nothing but one big lull. Then presto, you do a skull and find that you're reeling. She sighs and you're feeling like a toy on a string. And your heart goes ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding. She takes your hand, this captivating creature, and like it's planned, you're in the phone book looking for the nearest preacher. Life is swell, you're off to that small hotel, and somewhere a village bell will sound in the steeple, announcing to people love's the loveliest thing. And the bell goes ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding. She grabs your hand, this captivating creature, and like it's planned, you're in the phone book hunting for the nearest preacher. Life is swell, you're off to that small hotel, and somewhere a village bell will sound in a steeple, announcing the people love's the loveliest thing. And the bell goes ring-a-ding-ding, 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 ring-a-ding-ding.
From New Orleans, this is Le Show. Some vaccines may reduce the risk of dementia through a double effect in which the jabs help protect the brain through their added adjuvant chemicals, as well as by suppressing viruses. This is according to a study by Oxford University reported in Financial Times this week. The analysis of health records of 430,000 people in the U.S. published this week found that vaccination against respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, with GlaxoSmithKline's Arexvy, side effects to come later, was associated with a 29% decrease in diagnoses of Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia during the following 18 months. The findings add to growing evidence of a link between viral infections and dementia. The Oxford scientists were most excited about beating Cambridge, no, about their conclusion that a significant part of the dementia reduction might be due to the adjuvant. That's a mixture of fatty molecules, that are added to enhance the vaccine's effectiveness by priming the recipient's immune system. That could open the way for a new approach to dementia prevention, said a professor of psychiatry at Oxford. Quote, "The findings are striking," he said. Not in that accent. "We need more studies," he continued, "to confirm whether the adjuvant contributes to the reduced dementia risk and to understand how it does so." Unquote. Previous studies showed that Shingrix, GSK's case, most recent vaccine against shingles caused by the herpes zoster virus, cut the risk of dementia by 27%. Shingrix contains the same adjuvant. Shingrix and Arexvy decreased dementia by similar proportions, even though they target very different viruses. That contributes to the Oxford team's argument that the adjuvant played an important role. Another boost to their argument is the fact, quote, that a protective effect is seen within a few months of vaccination, as it seems likely that enough infections would be prevented during such a short time frame to explain the magnitude of the protection. Unquote, the researcher. How long the protection lasts is unknown. The scientists are not sure how the adjuvant might lower the risk of dementia, though they think the effect is likely to involve the immune system in the brain, which has been shown in recent research to play an important role in Alzheimer's disease, as well as in keeping you from learning new stuff. No, the study was published in the journal NPJ Vaccines. One of the strengths of the study is that it adjusted for factors that could influence risk, said the head of research at the Alzheimer's Research Charity. But we cannot rule out that the link between vaccine and dementia risk is due to other factors not captured in the study. To maintain independence, the researchers excluded GlaxoSmithKline from any involvement in the analysis. Meanwhile, in this country, the new Secretary of Health stuff, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has fired all 17 members of a board that was previously used to advise CDC, Centers for Disease Control, on what vaccines should be approved for use and for what segments of the population. The new people on the board appointed by Kennedy include critics with not much research background, but people who have criticized the proliferation of vaccines, much like Kennedy himself. And now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Yes, there's another apology from the BBC this week. The BBC apologized for posting a kind of a spoiler about the shocking finale of Doctor Who for this season. The spoiler was prominently featured online a few weeks after the Doctor Who finale. The BBC has addressed its fans who called out the company for the spoiler news story. In a statement, the BBC said, quote, some people contacted us to complain that the headline gave away the ending, spoiling this Doctor Who episode for them. Others requested that the BBC be more conscious of spoilers going forward, particularly in the use of headlines. The explanation continued, BBC journalists are, of course, entitled to use their judgment to decide which stories to cover and the manner in which they're reported. We also want our headlines to be as informative as possible. Although every story is different, we've discussed your concerns on this occasion with senior editors, and we will be mindful of your views for future coverage. Unquote. Bay City, Texas rapper That Mexican OT has apologized for his remarks around a racial slur after enduring a week of criticism that strained personal relationships and angered fans. Last week, during an appearance on a podcast, That Mexican OT was asked about his stance on using the N-word. He defended his position. He maintained his perspective that he can and has no problem saying the slur, as he was influenced by his upbringing around the majority black community where he grew up. I feel like I can say it. What the F you were going to do about it, the Mexican OT said. And second of all, I grew up loving these mothers. I grew up fighting with them. I grew up eating with them. I grew up doing bad S with them. I grew up loving them, unquote. That appearance caused a massive backlash with rappers, including Atlanta rapper Anicia and Houston rapper Mataleo, calling him out for his remarks. Hundreds of TikTok videos similarly criticized him. Now that Mexican OT has apologized for the remarks, which apparently have forced him to reconsider his perspective after close friends felt disrespected. The rapper took to Instagram to respond to a post from his friend, Denver rapper, saying he'd lost respect for the Texas rapper. Quote, I felt like it was a stupid question, so I gave a stupid answer. His apology reads, I could have said anything, and I would stand on it for my beliefs being strong. Strictly no hate or ill in my heart. Unquote. While not exactly owning up to what was said, the potential loss of longtime friends and supporters seemed to affect the Texas rapper as they quickly made a follow-up post, fully apologizing for the incident. And Deadline Multnomah County, Oregon, decades after Multnomah County bulldozed the graves of Chinese and Chinese American residents in order to build a maintenance building and parking lot. The Board of Commissioners formally acknowledged and apologized for the harm, expressing sincere regret to families and community members. They unanimously passed the resolution this week, just after approving $1 million in the next budget to help fund a memorial at the Lone Fir Cemetery, now owned and operated by the regional government. The board's goal is to acknowledge the contributions of people of Chinese heritage, as well as the persistent discrimination they endured, including at the county's hands. Quote, this action by our board is a sincere apology to address past wrongs and honors the unrecognized stories of Chinese Americans originally buried at Lone Fir, said the chair of the group. Quote, it's very important that this response was built in close collaboration with our Chinese American community and will be followed by community events. Another commissioner said it was her honor to represent the district where the cemetery is located during this moment in time because, quote, it gives me an opportunity to participate in the truth-telling and the beginning of reconciliation between an institution that I'm proud to be part of, but that has committed acts that have inflicted incredible pain to the Chinese-American community. I think a consistent and sincere effort to take ownership and work collaboratively to restore the harm caused is the least we can do, unquote, the commissioner. The cemetery is one of the region's oldest. For decades, it was the only place where newly arrived residents in the area were buried. Since 1868, as many as almost 3,000 Chinese immigrants and Chinese Americans were buried there. Research later showed most were buried in a section, Block 14. A recent historical account describes Block 14 as having been crowded with headstones bearing Chinese writing. Chinese mourners had also erected a shrine, allowed people to make offerings. But in 1928, the county, Multnomah County, took over the cemetery from a private owner, stopped community burials. And more than 20 years later, the cemetery superintendent proposed removing any remaining graves and repurposing the land. County workers exhumed the remains of 265 more individuals to develop the property, according to the county's history. Most remains were shipped to China, the rest reburied elsewhere in the cemetery. Descendants later learned county workers used bulldozers to remove the remains without careful culturally sensitive collection practices and without recording or tracking any names, including children. No other graves in the cemetery underwent the same treatment. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
And I've often felt forsaken, certainly misused. Oh, but it's all right, it's all right. I'm just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant so far away from home, so far away from home. I don't know a soul that's not been battered. Don't have a friend who feels at ease. Don't know a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. Oh, but it's all right, all right. We've lived so well so long. Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. Can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong. I dreamed I was dying. Well, they came on a ship they called Mayflower. They came on a ship that sailed the moon. One of the ages most certain hours, tried to sing an American tune. Hey, but it's all right, I have to be all right. You can't be forever blessed. Still, tomorrow is another working day, and I'm trying to get some rest. So I'm trying to get some rest. Thank you.
And now, news of our friend the atom. Palantir Technologies this week says it's teaming up with a nuclear deployment company to develop an artificial intelligence-driven software system for the construction of nuclear reactors. Isn't that a good idea? Nuclear energy has garnered renewed interest from investors and companies. It's considered to be a cleaner source of fuel and more reliable than wind or solar energy. This according to Bloomberg. Palantir and nuclear company will jointly create the nuclear operating system, the NOS, which will simplify construction, allowing the firm to build plants faster and at lower cost. The orders, signed in May by the felon in chief, directed the nation's independent nuclear regulatory commission to cut down on regulations, despite its name, and fast-track new licenses for reactors and power plants. Kentucky-based nuclear company will pay the data analytics company, Palantir, around $100 million over 5 years to develop the platform. No indication they're going to use AI to figure out what to do with the waste. And a decade after the Government Accountability Office found more than $37 million in delayed maintenance in a nuclear waste storage site in southern New Mexico, progress on improvements has been spotty, according to the Santa Fe New Mexican. More than half of the critical infrastructure at the waste isolation pilot plant near Carlsbad, New Mexico, remains in substandard or inadequate condition. That's according to a new report from the General Accounting Office. That's a congressional watchdog agency that hasn't been savaged by DOGE. The report comes as officials consider a longer lifetime for the Waste Isolation Pilot Plant, WIP. Currently the nation's only underground repository for transuranic waste. Originally, the Department of Energy estimated WIP would stop accepting waste in 2023. Now its estimated closure date is half a century away. Department of Energy expects to continue transuranic waste disposal activities at WIP until the early 2080s, which will require the management and operating contractor to perform long-term maintenance on site infrastructure that must be functional decades longer than originally planned. That's from the General Accounting Office. The repository uses salt, the remains of an ancient sea in the Permian Basin, to entomb nuclear waste deep underground. Storage areas known as panels are dug out of the salt layer and filled with barrels containing the waste. The salt then creeps around the barrels. It's creeping salt. A drum of mispackaged waste from Los Alamos National Lab burst in a salt cavern at WIP in 2014, resulting in a radiation leak that led to a nearly three-year shutdown and a $2 billion cleanup effort. So, might want to take a second look at that. That would be WIP smart. Sorry about that. And now the side effects of the week.
Evenity can increase risk of heart attack, stroke, or death from a heart problem. Tell your doctor if you have had a heart attack or stroke. Do not take Evenity if you have low blood calcium or are allergic to it, as serious events have occurred with Evenity. Signs include rash, hives, swelling of the face or throat, which may cause difficulty in swallowing or breathing, muscle spasms or cramps, numbness, or tingling. Tell your doctor about severe jawbone problems, as they have been reported with Evenity. Report hip, groin, or thigh pain. Unusual thigh bone fractures have occurred with Evenity.
See me, personally, I prefer usual thigh bone fractures.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. Back next week, same time, same radio station, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Or on your audio device of choice whenever you uncross your fingers. We'll meet here then. A tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego desk, to Pam Halstead, and to Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans for help with today's broadcast. The email address for this program, yep, still, after all this time, your chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts. I don't know about that. And the opportunity to see the playlist of music played on this program, as well as a lot of stuff to watch and listen to and ponder, all at harryshearer.com. And I'm on Blue Sky at Harry Shearer. From Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network. So long from the Crescent City.